Chapter 16. Leeson popped out of the revival system and began to hassle me almost as soon as he was able to draw breath. He couldn't do it very well, as he kept having coughing fits. "What's this I hear from Harris about you usurping my platoon, McGill?" he demanded. I looked him over speculatively. "Sir, you're swaying a bit. Maybe you should catch your breath." "Oh, no," he said, shaking his head and going into another coughing spasm. "That's how it starts. That's how a man finds himself replaced. I'm not falling for that, especially after what you did to Harris."
Adjunct, all I did was follow Centurion Graves' orders.
"Yeah, right. Sure. You want me to believe you're just some kind of country slapdick, right? That there's not a scheming thought in your mind? Forget it, McGill. I'm not falling for that one."
"Your order, sir?" I asked, suppressing a sigh. "Just stay the hell out of my way. Those are your orders. No, hold on. I've got a better idea. I want you out on patrol. Deep patrol. See if you can find some of the stragglers from the drop pods. Barring that, maybe you can find yourself a sweet way to get killed."
I spun around on my heel and headed out of the lifter. Angry but resigned, I gathered up my team and we took a hike in the brush.
"What was the officers' meeting about, James?" Natasha asked me.
Not knowing what to say, I just shook my head and grunted. Sometimes that works. We were almost out of sight of the lifter, 1,000 paces into the forest. No matter what anyone said about megaflora, I couldn't help thinking of this place as one giant forest. Sure, the trees looked weird, and they were as much purple as they were green and brown, but they might as well be trees. They had trunks, branches, and thick flowering sprouts on top. Their crowns were so distant overhead, however, they looked like mountains seen through a haze of cloud cover. I turned around and stared back at the lifter where Graves and the rest of them had remained.
"Look at that," I said. "That lifter looks tiny in this forest. The trees dwarf it like a toy."
Natasha looked back, as did a few others. One of them was Carlos. He turned me a suspicious eye.
"So how come we're out here marching around in the undergrowth instead of camping with the rest of the cohort?"
I shrugged. "Harris complained, that's why."
"That bastard. He's worse than Winslade in his own way."
"Now, now," I chided. "None of that. He's nowhere near that bad."
"You still haven't answered my question," Natasha said at my side. "What happened in the meeting?"
This time, I stopped dodging and laid it out for her. She was smart, and her face was squinched up with worry by the time I finished explaining.
"So, we're screwed?" she asked.
"Well and truly," I admitted. "The only good news is that Winslade brought along a revival machine." Carlos hooted at that and joined us.
"You know why he did that, don't you? He never leaves home without a revival machine in close proximity. I bet that thing is programmed to spit him out the second he croaks."
"Could be," I admitted. "But in this case, his caution has benefited us all. We can take a few losses and still keep going."
"A few losses?" Carlos demanded incredulously. "Have you somehow failed to notice we're as good as wiped right now? This has got to be the biggest fiasco we've ever been part of."
"Nowhere close," I said, shaking my head. "Remember back on Tech World, it was down to Galina Turov and me alone at one point. Everyone else was as dead as a mackerel on a dock, including you. Now that was a fiasco." That shut Carlos up for some reason. He frowned, not liking talk of his non-existence, even though it had been temporary. Natasha stepped close to me again.
"What are we looking for?"
"Survivors from the pod drops. Those sorry bastards did even worse than we did."
"What else did the officer say in the meeting? What's their plan?"
"They were talking about reviving people, what order, who should go first, who they could be sure was really dead, that sort of thing." She nodded thoughtfully.
"I know what I would do."
"What?"
"I'd revive the crew of the freighter. They might know what happened back on Earth. They might know who our enemy really is."
I halted and frowned at her. "Who our enemy really is? What do you mean?"
"I mean, I want to know who's making these plant constructs and sending them at us in droves, and who came along and blew up the freighter in the first place.
Shrugging, I continue to march. I don't know why it matters much. They did it, and we're here to find and destroy them.
But they're putting up quite a fight, wouldn't you say? It would help a lot to at least know why they did it.
The more I thought about it, the more I came to believe she was right. Okay, I said. But do we even have the freighter crew's data?
We do. I checked.
I chuckled. Of course Natasha had checked. She wasn't supposed to have access to the bio database, but that sort of thing had never stopped her before. If she was curious about what a given computer knew, she would dig it up whether she was authorized to do so or not.
So we have their data. How do we know the crew wasn't already revived back on Earth?
Natasha hesitated. She looked over her shoulder to make sure the others in the patrol were out of earshot. They weren't, but Carlos was telling a loud story and no one was listening to us at the moment.
I happen to know that Turov was given the data with instructions to revive the crew members if she felt they might be useful.
We were coming into a dense region of undergrowth where the huge waxy pods hung down from the nearest tree. They didn't sprout from the crown, but from much lower down, just above the gnarly roots. The pods themselves were odd things, the color and general shape of a jalapeno pepper. Fresh, shiny, and dark green, just like poison. I halted and poked at the nearest of them with my rifle. You think these things are seed pods or something?
Yes, probably part of their reproductive cycle.
The pods were over 30 meters tall. They hung from fresh-grown tubers until they touched the forest floor. It was startling to think a seed could be so large, but it made sense. The adult megagrowths, after all, were 100 times as big. I stopped poking the pod and turned to Natasha.
This isn't an accidental conversation, is it? You want me to go back there and kick around the idea of reviving the crew, is that it? How do you think that's going to go over? Turov could have done it at any point on the flight out here, but she didn't.
Exactly,
Natasha said, looking up at me with a gleam in her eye.
That's a mystery, isn't it? Why avoid an obvious resource of data on an unknown enemy?
I don't feel like reviving Turov to ask her about that.
She's the last person I would ask, Natasha admitted. But she's not around, is she? Remember the chain of command, James. Who's in charge now? Who has every right to sate their curiosity in this desperate situation?
I stared at her for a second. Winslade. Winslade is in charge. She nodded, watching me. Sighing and shaking my head, I could already envision my fate. She'd put these thoughts into my head, shoving them in one at a time until my mind was full. She'd known exactly what she was doing, too.
You're a sneaky one, I said.
You're trying to get me into trouble again, aren't you?
96% of us are dead, at last count. I'd say you're already in trouble. We all are.
Why don't you march into Winslade's office and tell him all this? Why don't you do it your damn self? She laughed quietly.
I'm good at a lot of things, but I can't stir a pot like you can, James. No one can.
I opened my mouth, planning to agree with her, but right then we heard a sharp cracking noise. Frowning, we turned toward the pod that hung close enough to touch. It had split open a fraction. As we watched, the crackling turned into a ripping noise, and a seam in the plant gave way, tearing with the sound of a splitting tree trunk all the way up to the stem overhead. Inside the split, which was now several centimeters wide, we saw movement.